Okay, 3, 2, 1, and we're live.
Spooky episode.
Yeah. Shit. What are we talking about today, man?
Nice. I like how you got that right in the time we were trying to fix the camera. We were having some major technical difficulties.
Igen Bros has officially lost a camera. This is why we're using one right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what that...
We'll do it live.
Yeah, this
we'll
is exactly...
Fuck it.
This is exactly the
do
sentiment. This is exactly the sentiment we had.
Sad.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you know, you,
more
you
money
win some, you lose one.
Cameras.
Or some.
You win some, you lose some?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not it. Trying to find something appropriate.
Perfect.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, like we were saying, it's spooky.
Spooky episode. Time.
Yeah, so what did you want to talk about this week? Oh, we teased it last week.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In the last podcast, I was talking about how I really don't like to dabble in anything occult really anymore.
Yeah.
It was kind of a phase I went through when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing has never quite left me. It's always kind of been there lurking in the back of my mind is something that I can, that I dabble in every blue moon.
Yeah.
And that... And the musical choice is very appropriate. So,
what
I don't know
it?
If it's necessarily... So, if you haven't guessed, it's UFOs.
Yeah.
So, not necessarily aliens, although I love aliens, too.
Yeah,
I went through that whole rabbit hole.
But that's just being more sci-fi nerds, dude, than anything,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But UFOs, man, I love them.
Yeah,
I
think they're really cool. I do have, like, a... But that's me being like kind of like a sci-fi nerd, just thinking about like UFOs and if UFOs are even plausible or possible to create.
Yeah. And like they just bring up really cool questions and interesting
and
physics
ideas,
topics,
right?
And ideas. Yeah.
Agree.
And the reason in behind why I even wanted to talk about this was because I saw some news report about how UFO sightings have been ramping up lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over the past month. And, that they're making a new division for reporting. They call them UAPs now because of the whole stigma behind UFOs.
Oh, sure,
so it's unmanned aerial or unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomena. And they're trying to make a division now where they keep track of these unidentified flying vehicles.
Okay.
And yeah, so then that spiraled my rabbit hole, of course, down UFO trail and kind of
keep going.
Why I'm interested in them and, you know, I guess why I wanted to even talk about them. So, you know, they're just a fascinating topic, especially if you're a science nerd or a physicist or anybody who likes kind of exploring weird topics that you can apply some kind of scientific analysis to.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So,
yeah.
100%. Yeah. I was excited when you brought this up because I was like, this is my forte, man. This is what I live
conspiracy
for.
Conspiracy corner.
Yeah. I mean, nah, it's just more, but this specifically because I became obsessed with alien shit when I was like in my early 20s. This is like before I really got into like physics, I guess. And
same.
But that kind of got me interested like into it because like, you know, you have to think about what's possible, how you can even achieve like UFO technology, and like, you know, a lot of it points to mastering or understanding physics and stuff, you know, to even get to a technology that can help you manipulate the world around you. Or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it's kind of the same for me. I started getting into UFOs way before physics, prompted by my whole religious crusade because I was trying to figure out how to prove or how to argue against science when I was debating people as a Christian back in the days. If you could believe that was a Christian at some point. I know it's hard to believe. But I used to debate people trying to prove Christianity and realize how shitty my arguments were because I could refute any of the good scientific arguments. So, I started getting heavy into it.
So where did the aliens come in? Like,
I just got into my whole rabbit hole. So I started looking into physics. I started looking more into philosophy and all these things. And then, of course, it's like I just got sucked into all the ghosts.
Ghosts.
You know, ghosts, aliens, UFOs, Bigfoot. Freaking everything you can think of that's a cult, you know?
Okay.
So, any of the mysteries of the world.
Yeah, I can cross all those off the list besides UFOs.
Yeah.
To this day. Like that, that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
To this day.
All the rest are kind of bullshit, 100%.
Yeah.
UFOs are mostly bullshit, but then there's always the odd thing that's like, but this does seem like what it would be like if something is an advanced technology.
This could be plausible. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So it's like I can never fully write that one off.
Yeah.
Although I would love to. Well, I don't know if I'd love to because I love UFOs. They're just so such a cool idea.
Yeah. They're such a cool little cultural thing.
Yeah.
Going back, do you remember like the first UFO sighting that you can remember?
Like, for mine?
No, documented.
Like, so I actually have that in my notes. So I guess we'll just get started. So basically, I got Juan to watch this documentary on Bob Lazar.
Yeah.
So Bob Lazar's kind of got one of the most credible sounding, at least, UFO accounts. And I just compiled a bunch of information on this stuff. But I do have the first sighting of a UFO that I have recorded. So the thing is, on Wikipedia, there's a whole list of UFO sightings before this one. But they're all like kind of like ancient, mysteriously worded, like balls of light in the sky.
Biblical, like, or sort of, ancient kind of
like
writings.
The chariots of Ra are glowing and shit.
Yeah.
You know, like there's some in like 1400 BC, apparently.
So these ancient people didn't know how to describe what they were seeing, so they just used the common vernacular.
And who knows what kind of peyote they were smoking and whatnot.
Sure, yeah. I mean, a lot of people, anthropologists I've heard, not a lot, but some people think that everybody was perpetually high.
Right. Because that's all they had to do back then.
Yeah, that
aside
and
from
that,
being slaves and working all
that
their whole
and the
life.
The sheer amount of like, you know, what is it? What is that thing that drove everybody crazy in Oregon? The witch trial shit?
Oh, Salem witch trials.
Yeah, they were saying there was something, they were eating something.
Oh, it's like and a cause thing?
It caused
like
them
lead
to
or something?
Go psychotic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think it was some kind of mold.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It made them like go crazy.
I can believe that.
I mean, it could have been that everybody was perpetually high and they were just seeing shit. But I mean, there's some things that are interesting, right? I think you have like, I'm pretty sure you have like a couple things here.
Yeah, so the first UFO sighting here I have on this computer. Maybe we should move this up, man. I don't want to keep linking over.
Sure. Yeah.
So we'll
put this here.
I think it's sometime in the 1600s, it says. So it's here. I have on March 1st, 1639, a Puritan governor named John Winthrop. I might have wrote that wrong. Winthrop. Recorded a sighting by a guy named James Everall. And he describes him as a sober and discreet man of a bright, and this guy, James Everall, saw a bright light as he was rowing down a tidal river basin with two other guys. And he said this bright light was flying in the air. And he said as it moved or as it ran, it contracted into the figure of a swine. And then he said as it was still, it flamed up. And he said the object darted back and forth as swift as an arrow between them and the village, which was approximately 2 miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write this down, but there was also another section where it said that he, once the object was done or something like that, he found himself in another spot in the river as they were flowing downstream. But then they were moved up to another spot in the river without any recollection of what had happened.
Ah.
And this is him and two other guys.
Yeah. So this is corroborated by the other two.
Yeah,
I imagine.
It's in a diary entry of James Winthrop.
Okay,
Winthrop, who was the governor during somewhere in New England, Boston area.
During
the 1600s, and that seemed like the best account of a UFO that I found as the first like potential sighting.
Yeah, you know. In America, at least.
Yeah, in America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's also not so wishy-washy and heavy laden in, like, in allegorical shit.
Exactly. And there's a lot of there's skeptics that say, like, oh, this is a phenomenon that's, like, recent, and it's seen in only in the eyes of, like hysteria of, like, UFO shit, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that was one thing I was actually curious about. Like, did UFOs precede the media, or did media precede UFOs?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And apparently it seems that UFOs preceded media.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, though, it really ramped up as soon as they had, I have another account of the one that's kind of, I think that people usually think is the first sighting.
Mm-hmm.
It's Betty and Barney Hill. It's the first widely publicized report of an alien abduction in the United States. Mm. And Betty Hill was the one who reported it. Actually, with her husband, they said they got abducted.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of talk about how the aliens abducted them and took them from the Zeta Reticuli star system.
Okay.
Which is why you hear Zeta Reticuli all the time in UFO anything conspiracy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all started from Betty and Barney Hill, basically. And
Betty
that was
Barney,
like when
that...
UFOs started really ramping up in the media and all that.
Hmm. Damn, Betty and Barney, that's like the Flintstones. I wonder if they did that on purpose.
They might have. They might have, man. I think the Flintstones were after them.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Because this is like 1947.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm pretty
sure. I think the Flintstones were they were black and white for a while, but I think they became in color.
Yeah, Hanna-Barbera had cartoons.
I don't know why they had to be in black and white, though. Were they in black and white?
Nah, dude, I don't think so. Flintstones?
I thought they were.
Flintstones were in color, for sure.
For the whole time?
I think so. Because, I mean...
Okay, I don't think so, but okay.
Because I just remember seeing that bird in cartoon, like you know, saying, that's a living, or it's a living,
yeah.
Or whatever the fuck.
Little parakeet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a living.
So, yeah, I mean... So this is the first reported abduction, or at least that you were able to surface on the internet. So,
and I checked the
how do you say
the material?
Yeah,
and it was his diary was written. I read his diary and went through it.
Okay,
and it was pretty much like those words.
Yeah, okay.
The thing that really stood out to me was the whole thing when he said Reddit ran. It was in the shape of a swine, and you know how swine pigs are shaped in like an ovular fashion, just like UFOs.
Oh shit. Yeah.
That really was what stood out to me. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That is very interesting. Yeah.
And some of the other accounts I read on Wikipedia said some things like there was one sighting, I think, I forget the area.
Mm-hmm.
This is during like either early AD or like late BC or something, saying that two armies noticed a flying object in the air, and it was in the shape of a wine glass, or in the shape of a glass. I can't pull it up, but
no,
it's like when you see the image, you're like, oh yeah, because it was the type of wine jar that they used back then, and it has a very UFO kind of shape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you know, there's all types of UFOs people report.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah,
they'll
yeah.
report the cigar shaped ones, the triangle. The classic of not,
sort of like
how do you say
plate.
The oblong guy.
Yeah, yeah. Plates, like two plates.
Yeah, the plates.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it's really cool. Like, it's interesting how they're always like those kind of weird shapes.
Yeah, yeah. I remember one from the 1800s because there was like in Texas, there was a famous one where a UFO actually crash landed. And, you know, it's actually... It's a part of the town's history. Like, they embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
They say something. The sheriff actually, he reported. I'm going off my memory here. So okay. I heard the story a long time ago. I don't know if you have this on here, but
no, I didn't pull up any of that.
So
it might not be very credible.
What's it? Well, actually, this one's like very. Apparently, it's very well documented because like the sheriff of the town actually had they had found a body in the crash. Yeah. Well, the thing is they ended up burying the body and they just said that like, it was like, okay, well we found this strange person, like whatever. This was like in the 1800s or something. So
1800s and it crashed in a aircraft from the sky.
Yeah. Like it ended up crashing in this town and the sheriff reported, to the crash. And then Because I think some people found it out that it could happen in their house or something, or their property, and then they were just like investigating it.
That sounds a little unbelievable, because where would the ship be then? They should still have the ship.
No, yeah. Well, the thing is, they said most of it was like decimated or something, but it was like,
still would have pieces.
It was like a mangled, it was like mangled metal. They were just saying like it just like it was like it looked like metal or something. It was
made like a tungsten or something. Yeah, but if any of those pieces, like I feel like the government would have.
Well, this is what they said. This is what they were saying. They were like, well, the sheriff was saying that they, you know, after they found this thing, they found the body, they described the body to some detail. And then they said they buried the they called it the, they didn't have a word for it. So they just called it the pilot. So they just called him the pilot or something. I don't know. Well, it wasn't
pilots didn't exist in the 1800s.
Yeah. It was something else. I forgot what they called it. They didn't have the terminology.
The captain, maybe.
They just said, you know, the thing that was piloting this thing was buried, and they gave him its own gravesite. And then after that,
here lies aliens.
I don't know. I don't even know what they called it. They were just like weirded out by it. They thought it was like humanoid in some fashion. But
you should look that up, because I really researched as many credible cases as I could. And I didn't find
that. This one's supposed to be like one of the credible ones, because apparently there are multiple witnesses to this. Like people saw it crash from like a town away or something like that.
But they should have more than just witnesses. With that sounds like you should have evidence. They actually have evidence of the grave site. But they can't test his bones or test his anatomy.
The thing is, so from what I remember, I'm functioning off my memory here, so this is a little wonky. From what I remember, the federales fucking came through, or some people came through investigating the crash. And then
Would federales come to Texas? Because it wasn't Texas at that point.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
That can make sense, because it can be part of Mexico or something back then. I know that was kind of contentious back then.
Yeah.
The territory.
I don't know the exact dates and everything, but from what I remember, it was some people came, and basically after that, they couldn't find anything in the gravesite. The bones were gone. The remains were gone of this thing that they buried. And conveniently. So were like the scraps.
Sounds like a lot of mysteries where a lot of evidence goes disappearing. So were the scraps.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what the people were kind of saying. Like they were like, yeah, you know, something really weird happened here that a lot of people, witnesses, had reported in a town that was a sleepy ass town. No one had any. No one cared to really, you know, like this is before mass media or anything. Like, you know, and they reported it was like what, cigar shaped ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting, like the variation of them. And I'm like, why even have different
It makes sense
shapes?
Though, right? Because it's just like us with your technology, it goes through years and they change technologies. Or are they going to be different kinds of ships? Like you could imagine
even the same.
They could maybe even be different species, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
you never know, right? It's plausible, right? We don't have the same jets, even. Our jets evolve and everything.
I mean, but
our technology always evolves.
Yeah, but why cigar shaped?
I don't know. Should we start talking about
some of them are supply shaped. Supply ships or something.
Yeah, or just that's just whatever style they are. You know,
so weird. Anyway,
so cool though.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess we could talk about Bob Lazar. So what did you think about the Lazar documentary?
So the Lazar doc, I think he, some people were saying that it's hard to discredit him because he actually like says a lot of things that are true.
That are plausible for sure.
Well, things that are true, things that people have verified, like, you know, he was talking about the location.
Yeah.
And if you go to Google Maps, he actually like, it's pretty accurate. There are two hangars wherever he says there are supposed to be two hangars. You know, the 100 element 115.
Yeah.
I think has actually, by the time he discussed it, which was what, the 80s or something?
It was like, I think it was the 90s.
90s.
At least I didn't really confirm that for sure, but in the documentary, there was some video that said 1996 or something on it. But I don't know if that was cut afterward.
I see. Okay.
So I don't know.
Yeah. So he spoke about this element 115 and, how it was used for this craft, this spacecraft thing that this species had ended up using.
Yeah.
And And he was like, yeah, I mean, it's not naturally occurring here on Earth, but somehow they've been able to like harvest it or something.
Right.
And he's like, yeah.
But let's slow down a little bit, Lon. Let's actually give a kind of
background.
Yeah. So basically this Bob Lazar documentary is a guy who apparently is a physicist who was assigned to work on this secret project at Area 51, and specifically on a project at a facility called S4, he claims.
Yeah.
So
Dreamland is what they called it.
Yeah. So basically he has some special majestic clearance, he says.
Highest civilian level.
Right.
Clearance.
Where they allowed him to reverse engineer an alien, apparently alien aircraft, he claims, because he says when you look in the aircraft, there were small seats and there were other things in S4 that indicated this was to belong to some extraterrestrial entity. So basically he is there to reverse engineer this aircraft. And he describes, the cool thing about this is he's actually a physicist. So he actually describes the physics and the kind of the engineering behind the aircraft and how it works.
Yeah.
So that's why it's one of the better videos, I think. But the thing is, I also go to Rational Wiki a lot. I don't know if you know Rational Wiki.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They kind of discredit a lot of things. And they said that Bob Lazar was discredited. I don't remember why, though. Probably because he's never shown his element 115. He only just speaks about things but never gives any evidence. So it's kind of hard to believe. One other thing that kind of gave me pause about Bob Lazar is he uses kind of these old terms from old UFO, from ufology, you know, from the whole UFO realm, like the majestic clearance. It comes from Majestic 12, which was one of those old UFO documents that the FBI basically declared as bogus documents.
Yeah.
And even UFO people could claim those as an elaborate hoax.
Yeah.
So the Majestic 12, he took that name and called it Majestic Clearance. He also talks about the aliens being from Zeta Reticuli, which is from the Betty Barney Hill.
Yeah.
So why them? I guess it makes sense, though, because it's consistent. But I don't know. It could be true, but I'm just like, how would he know that they're from Zeta Reticuli?
Yeah.
And he kind of also sounds like he doesn't quite know where they're from. But then he also says that the aliens are like typical grays, he thinks. I forget how he knew that. Maybe there's a picture or something.
He said there was photographs or something.
Something along those lines. And he says the seats are small, just like the stereotypical aliens that you see in everyday media. So I guess, what else did you have? What other thoughts did you have about it?
I thought it was, I thought it was kind of strange. I really wanted to hear his rationale for the physics of how it worked.
Yeah.
Because I can kind of poke holes.
That was the most interesting part to me.
Yeah, and I can kind of poke holes at that because that's something that needs to be plausible.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. What did you think about the physics? So there was some things he was talking about that were really interesting to me.
So first of all, the way he claimed that this spacecraft, because they apparently, I guess, successfully reproduce the technology to like use, or I guess reverse engineered it.
Yeah.
So what they said was that what they think is happening is that this is kind of creating a gravitational potential well, so that the ship is constantly. He's using a lot of like common. He's speaking in very casual terms.
Yeah.
He's like, so it's like if it's constantly rolling down a hill in a sense. So he's saying like this object is experiences no inertia. It's forming its own gravitational potential and.
Right. It's got a gravitational distortion in front of it.
Distortion. Yeah.
So it's a distortion field.
Yeah.
It's causing the aircraft to constantly be rolling downhill, essentially.
Exactly.
And they can manipulate this distortion field in many different ways to make it so that, you know, it could stay stationary, completely still. It can be rolling. It also has the ability to turn 90 degrees, you know, so if it's flying.
By shifting phase is what he said.
Yeah, it can immediately go 90 degrees.
Yeah.
It can go supersonic speeds, or it looks like that.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. And I had thought about the physics for a while.
Yeah.
and it really seems very like plausible. I could see how this could be made.
Right.
Like if you had the right theoretical things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It but, seems I mean, feasible.
He approached it in an engineering like point of view, right? Because
yeah.
they hired him as an engineer to reverse engineer this thing. So yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. I liked his answer as to like how it worked, but I thought it was kind of bullshit too, account how he said like there was gravity exists as two things. He was saying one of them is what did he say? He was saying like gravity on a larger scale is explained by something else, and then gravity at a smaller scale acts on the atomic, subatomic level.
Well, I guess he's talking about gravitons versus bending space-time. Was that it?
Yeah, yeah. But I thought it was kind of, I was like, I don't know. Because like, I mean, he did mention gravitons, which as a concept existed back then.
Yeah.
Like, it's not.
I think it still kind of exists now.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, the concept exists now,
yeah.
but I think there's more evidence that it might not. The gravitons might not exist
right.
at all. So, yeah. I mean, that's one thing that I was kind of like, it's probably bullshit. But I definitely liked his explanation about like how you create a distortion because, you know, it's kind of like this object is riding on a wave, so to say.
Right.
And it's like, you know, yeah.
That yeah, I think cool. it's really cool. And I think, though, as a physicist, he could easily make this up. It's just a physicist with a good imagination
yeah.
could come up with these things.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah. Because I've thought about
something like
that.
But I just love
like
his
that.
Ideas, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he, even if he did dupe the world, which he
yeah,
probably
yeah,
did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love the fact that these concepts that he's come up with, because this was actually what brought me into this. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the things.
Yeah.
And, and I just love the gravity distortion field. And I was thinking about how could an aircraft actually be going at, you know, hypersonic speeds and just make a 90-degree turn. And
right.
I thought, actually, it's feasible. If you have something to completely counteract the force at every moment of time as it's slowing down, which could be, you know, it slows down in a picosecond. If you have something that can counter that force within a picosecond time frame, you could, in theory, immediately slow down without feeling any of the effects.
Yeah, but my
You just need a force to cancel it out.
Yeah,
if they can create their own gravitational fields, then you can do that.
Well, the thing is, like, my issue with that is, like, how much, okay, because on the classic scale, right, us operating, like, on regular scales, what happens is, you know, we have to worry about impulse, right?
Right. Well, that's the thing I'm saying. During that impulse, you can be ramping it in the exact opposite way because the impulse is just force times time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have that same exact impulse in the opposite direction,
mm-hmm.
you could be canceling out that impulse.
Yeah.
Or it could be, or not even, you don't have to cancel even exactly one-to-one. You just cancel it enough to where the G-forces are tolerable.
Yeah.
So if you're traveling at, you know, 7,000 miles per hour, and I don't know, you need some, I don't know. Let's say you have 7,000 of force in one direction to slow you down.
Well, I think in this case, there are no forces though, right?
Well, there would be. If you're decelerating, you're going to have a force, right?
No, but I'm saying here in the case that he's presenting.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out how you would actually cancel that force out. You need to have a gravitational field. Let's say you could arbitrarily scale your gravity field. If you can scale it in such a way where it immediately cancels a force exactly at that same moment of time, then you won't even feel a deceleration. You'll just feel like,
right, but I'm
you
saying
you won't feel any force.
No, but I'm saying like in their like construction of like this gravity well thing.
Yeah,
it's they're operating in sort of a vacuum. Like it's not they're when they're moving, they don't feel acceleration because they have no. Remember, this is like free fall. Mm-hmm. Like they're in free fall
right.
in a sense. So,
but
like,
you still feel acceleration in a free fall.
Well, the thing is, it goes back to like what Einstein was saying. Like, you would never know that. Like, right now we're falling, but we don't feel it. Like, it's kind of like that. Like, you would never feel, because then you can't feel relative motion in that either, because you're constantly falling in that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think they don't even have to worry about all that shit.
But the thing is, if the gravity field changes direction,
I think
something,
they just
right.
I don't know. Cause then you just like phase, cause he was saying like you do a phase shift or whatever. And like, you can kind of like, that's how they're able to achieve like changes in direction. But, but to me, it was like, yeah, how do you handle the fact that, that you do have like impulse?
Yeah.
You have to deal with like impulses, because there's a huge amounts of, that's a huge amount of energy that they have to, you have to dissipate in such a short amount of time.
You need a negative impulse.
Yeah, but it's like,
same magnitude, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be equal and opposite magnitude, right? Yeah. So, I mean, but it's like, it's such a, how the fuck does something that you build handle all that? Because cars, we build cars to handle impulse by crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, they drag out the impulse to make it so that you have less G-forces on yourself.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't even think they feel any G-forces.
Right, they don't. Because they have something that immediately cancels it out. That's the only way I could see you turning 90 degrees, especially like if you've seen some UFO videos where they go at hypersonic speeds and they immediately stop. Like, that means that you would experience so much G-force that you just splat against the wall.
But I don't even know if they, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think they feel that because they're creating their own, correct me if I'm wrong.
If the thing is, if they're decelerating at any point, they're going to feel a force. You can't not feel a force. So the thing is, you need something to cancel out the force that you feel at the exact moment of time. So let's imagine they're traveling at 7,000 meters per second. When they immediately stop, all that force is going to hit them at some area, 100%. Or at some point. So they need to have a force that immediately cancels it out.
Yeah.
But if you can control gravity, you can do that in theory by having a gravitational field pointed in the opposite direction as the direction of movement that you were going. And then you immediately cancel that force out.
I just don't think we're dealing with forces.
Well, we are. If you're dealing with gravitational fields, you're dealing with forces.
Well, I mean, like I think in this case, like, he's making what he makes it sound like is like this craft is in constant free fall. So there is no.
But if you're like if you're in free fall, you still have a force on you.
Yeah, but
if we're falling in the air, we have a force on us, a gravitational
force. Yeah. But it's like you're constantly okay. How do I say this? I could see you falling. Okay, because the force is a vector, right? If you're moving side to side,
yeah.
Then and you're constantly falling.
Mm-hmm.
Then you may not, depending on where you're pointing your field or you're orientating your field.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can see, or the direction you're falling, so to say. Then you don't really have to worry about G-forces.
Yeah, you do.
Because if you're I'm falling in this direction, in a lateral direction, okay, now I'm falling in this direction. Well, actually,
you're changing direction.
Yeah.
You got to worry about G-force if you have a force, right?
Yeah.
The only reason we may not die from free fall is because we hit terminal velocity. That's just because the surface area of a human's enough to, you're going to top out at some G-force, I guess.
No, I'm just removing humans from the equation.
Well, I'm just trying to think of a simple system. Like, if we were falling from the top of, you know, the Earth, I think we hit a terminal velocity at some point to where we're not going to experience over a certain amount of G-force, right?
Right.
So you're only going to accelerate to so much, and then you're just going to keep falling at that same speed. So then you hit a terminal velocity. But if you're in a ship that moves air around it and you can just keep accelerating, you're going to feel a force, right? Even if you have a gravity well in front of you, the thing is, the ship isn't getting slowed down. It can just keep arbitrarily getting faster and faster,
at least
according to, you know, UFO.
It's like frictionless, right? It should be, in theory, frictionless.
I mean, ideally, there's air going around it or something. The air is just moving around it. The ship doesn't really get affected by air because it has an arbitrary gravitational field, it seems.
Yeah.
Like, it can generate as much of a gravitational field forward as it wants to see however fast it wants to accelerate.
But then
with that acceleration, you need something to cancel out that other force. But they can do that by just generating another gravitational field.
I'd have to think about that a little
more. Yeah, I know. I was trying to think about it too, but
There's
got to be a way to cancel out the forces you're feeling. Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah.
I'll take it back to you on that one because, yeah, I'm a little bit perplexed as to how it's all
working. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
I was trying to think also how you could make an arbitrary gravitational field without creating a black hole or something, too. Because the thing is, imagine this. Imagine, okay, let's just imagine this scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a ship, right, that can arbitrarily create some giant amount of energy at a single point in space. Mm-hmm. Just say your ship is next to Earth and it has the ability to create that giant, to tune that giant energy at will. And we're just going to say, because since we know E equals MC squared, energy and mass are related, when you're tuning the energy, you're also tuning the mass. So essentially, at this point, you're ramping up the energy so much that you're essentially making like a massive ball, but there is no mass. It's just a big, it's just a lot of energy. And then when you're doing that, the thing is, you're going to attract everything else that's massive to that point. So if you're creating some arbitrarily high energy at some point,
mm-hmm.
eventually you're going to get so much that the gravitational, that gravity field is going to exceed the gravity from Earth. And then you're just going to make Earth orbit you instead. So you can't have something that's just tuning the energy. You need to have some machine that is actually, that actually is controlling the potential field somehow without changing the energy.
No, I think, yeah, I think it's something that decouples itself, so to say, from the field.
What do you mean? Like something that,
because right now we're all coupled to Earth's gravity, right?
What do you mean by
we're
coupled
tied
to gravity?
Earth's gravity? Like if we were to write out a Hamiltonian,
don't like, make it too complicated.
No, but okay.
Yeah.
If we were to write out, I'm talking to you. So like,
but I don't want you to make it too complicated.
Okay.
Man.
So if I'm
not going to even understand what you're saying, then
if I were to say what potentials are affecting us on our day to day life, gravity is probably the most prominent.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Gravity is the one force.
Well,
gravity is the one thing that's literally holding us down
all the time.
Right.
It's one we deal with on a daily basis.
So we're coupled to it. If we were ever to not be coupled to it, we would fly off the planet. Right.
Okay.
I'm saying they somehow, or this, the technology of these creatures. So if it exists, decouple from gravity, meaning it doesn't even interact with the gravitational field of Earth or anything really.
Right. So you're saying they're somehow bending it around them to now where they become on there. They don't need
gravity.
They
don't even interact with
our
field.
So then the thing is they're manipulating that field though somehow. That's what I think too. So that's the only thing that makes sense. You can't really ramp up your energy
because
then you're essentially creating so much energy that now every other massive
thing
is going to be
attracted
to that and then you're just squished.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you need to somehow find a way to control the gravitational potential field.
Or your interaction with the gravitational
field. Yeah. Yeah. But then the thing is, I don't know how you would be able to arbitrarily ramp up your speed that way. Because then if you're only manipulating the field, you're just changing the field to however you want to go, but you can't like, you can't make it so the, like if little g is ramped up to a higher acceleration.
If it's a field, right? If it's a vector field, then you can just point, ideally you'd, well, this is kind of getting to sci-fi shit, but then you'd point the opposite direction, right? With equal and opposite magnitude to cancel out. If you get a net zero.
Yeah. But I want to know how you could get fat, how you could go faster. You know, because you can change, let's say you can change that field somehow where you're moving forward or something.
Then
in
you're net
direction.
Zero. Then you're net. It's no longer net zero. You have a greater.
Right. But the thing is, you'd have to somehow be able to control that field, though, to make it so that the field becomes stronger. But the only way you can make a field stronger, as I understand it, is to add mass or energy somehow. To make it so that you have a larger gravitational field. Bob Lazar talks about
these.
Well,
probably converting energy from something. It's not.
Yeah, so that's not, I think, where the element 115 comes from. Mm. Bob Lazar talks about these three like tubes.
Yeah, yeah.
That essentially generate some gravito field.
Oh,
or
they
something.
Were saying he was saying they're particle accelerators.
Yeah,
right?
And what he said was there's a synchrotron or something, right?
Right, right.
That synchrotron shoots the element 115, or shoot something, I think, into the element 115.
Right.
That element 115 somehow breaks off into other
I didn't catch that part.
Molecules.
It, yeah.
And then what does he say? And then he says that somehow, I think he says it makes antimatter in that collision. Mm. Then the antimatter goes into some chamber and annihilates with matter. And then it creates it into photons and thermal energy. And it's 100% efficiency, which violates the first law of thermodynamics. Yeah, 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 yeah. He even mentions it in the video. I was like, that's ballsy, bro, so to make up something that violates the first law of thermodynamics. Yeah, and then somehow that energy gets turned into gravito propulsion. Mm-hmm. And he also said the ship uses that same energy source to power everything in the ship. So it's completely wireless. Mm. And they can control the gravity waves just like a resonant chamber, like a cavity, like how we control EM waves.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says you can use those gravito waves to power other systems in the ship. I tried to think about that for a while. My brain eventually broke and I couldn't think of any way to like simplify or try to understand that explanation.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't even know how to unpack that really. I don't know if it's bullshit either. I might need more time to digest that.
Yeah. I
don't even know how he was trying to come up with that explanation.
Yeah. That's one of those other things that I'm like, that one doesn't seem.
Yeah. And when you're violating the first law of thermodynamics, it's a bad sign.
Especially that.
But you can imagine because that's the whole law of thermodynamics with, I think, perpetual motion machines. Basically saying you can't create a perpetual motion machine.
Well, you can't get more out. You can't.
No, you can get more energy out than you put in.
Well.
Like fusion energy is that way.
Yeah, but we're still like trying to understand all that shit, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't understand.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. You if you can't get you can't necessarily
the whole point of fusion is the whole point of fusion, right, is to use electricity to create some plasma that will return you tenfold more energy than what you're putting into it. Like the sun does that. The sun generates energy.
Yeah, but it's using nature's
Yeah, but it's just using gravity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The gravity smushing these hydrogen atoms at such a high energy that basically.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't have to do any of the work. Gravity does
at all
work.
Times, huh?
I'm saying we don't do any of the work. Gravity does work.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's an energy source right there. It shows that we can. It's not creating energy from nothing because it's still matter, right?
Yeah.
It's just that you're getting usable energy out from that. Squishing effect from the gravity on these matter molecules.
Oh, okay, so it's like a surplus for us, but in the grand scheme of things.
It's still converting that, right?
Yeah.
It's still converting that.
I see. Yeah.
So it's not like it's violating any fundamental laws of physics.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, that's all fine. That's all cool. The next step in all this is for me is like, what the fuck are these things that are like supposedly piloting the ship and all this other stuff. Who the fuck are they? Because
that's another story.
That is because, and to me, that kind of is the one that can kind of poke holes into everything.
How
like
so?
say if I want to accept the mystery behind UFOs, right? So it's like, oh shit, there's all this technology we don't understand. Mm-hmm. But it's like, for the most part, we can kind of understand biology, right?
Yeah.
We can understand the rules that life operates under, and most creatures that are alive follow evolutionary principles, right? So it's like, what would drive, why if aliens were to come and visit, what would they look like?
Right.
Like,
I think it's such a hard question, though. Way harder.
Sure, but if they visit, like, just looking at them, just analyzing them as what we know about life on Earth, and try to apply those rules to something else. So, if their skin is gray, then that means they must not have any sort of how do I say? They probably don't have any source.
Sun?
Yeah, they probably don't have really a sun. They probably, if they have big eyes, why the fuck do they have big eyes? Well, maybe
they need a lot of light.
Well, maybe because, yeah.
It's so dark.
Maybe they live in a dark planet. Yeah. So see, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so another thing.
But it's like, we don't know anything. So like, it's almost hard to even speculate about that.
Right. Or they've doomed themselves to be like, what is the word I'm looking for? Nah, I'm not going to get into that. So like, basically, yeah. Like, we can try to use these rules of like, is that plausible? Like, is this plausible to have something that has big eyes, has gray skin, has a large head for whatever?
That's not the hard part, though. I think biologically we've seen so many weird things just on Earth.
Yeah.
That biologically anything's up for grabs pretty much.
No, but it has to
be. So, I mean, I don't know if that's the best analysis.
But I'm saying it has to make sense. Like the way you were saying, like, okay, they have big eyes because they need to collect light.
Yeah.
They have a hard time collecting light. And I'm saying, well, their gray skin shows that they don't really... They probably don't get a lot of sun or anything. Mm-hmm. Assuming that they have melanin.
Right.
Which is probably...
And I don't even know what gray indicates, really. That's just me using my poor biological intuition.
Well, life on Earth that has basically no light.
Right.
Basically animals that exist at the bottom of the ocean or something.
Yeah, but they're not gray. They can be all kinds of colors. Some of them are fluorescent even.
Some of them are translucent. Some of them are fluorescent. But that's they're fluorescent if they're hunting prey. But the thing is, they don't exhibit any of that. Now,
but also think about rhinos in the Sahara Desert.
Yeah.
They're gray and they have plenty of sunlight. So I don't know what to even indicate.
But they also have thick skin. I don't know.
I don't know. I've no biological background, so I can't even really speculate on any of that, really.
But you can try to reason.
At any sophisticated level.
You can try to reason some of it through some of it. Now, the grays I can kind of accept. Level. The grays I can kind of accept. The only ones I don't, I kind of have the Zeta Reticulans or what?
Those are the grays, I thought.
No. The Andromedans or something.
Okay.
They're supposed to be like...
Nerdy. I don't know all the aliens anymore.
Yeah, it gets kind of nuts.
I only remember the Palladians who just looked like us, except they're more beautiful.
Oh, they're the Palladians. Okay, yeah. That's who I was talking about.
The ones that look like humans? That's the ones you should accept the most, because we've already know that exists.
Yeah, but I'm saying, why the fuck would that exist somewhere else?
Why not?
Because you have...
If it exists here, that makes more sense to me.
Because
at least
then you have such specific conditions that even brought us about. Like, is what I'm saying.
But what if this is the only configuration for life at that level? That could be a thing.
There is convergent. There is this idea, and this is the idea of convergent evolution, where things, bats develop wings.
Or just look at eyes. Mammals. How many species have eyes?
Birds develop wings. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And the eyes sometimes look very similar.
100%. I agree. Yeah.
I don't know how many just diverged from the same timeline. Or this from the same biological line.
Yeah, and the assumption is that, you know, all the physical, all of physics is the same all across the universe, right?
Yeah.
So
to me, this would be the most likely, because, like, we already know this exists. So a humanoid-type creature that looks like us makes sense, because we know of this. This is our sample size of one. We've seen this, so that would be the most plausible so far.
I have qualms with that, but yeah, okay, I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we going to look for when we're already looking for extraterrestrials? We're looking for star systems that have planets in a Goldilocks zone with water. Because we know of that as our conditions.
Yeah.
So if we're finding aliens, that's what we're looking for first. Things that we already know exist.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know where to start with a fucking gray alien.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this could also be another thing where it's like, how do we know? Okay, because these things that travel speed of light,
mm-hmm.
or close to the speed of light, I guess. Are they faster than the speed of light?
Nah, I don't know. I don't think
that's something
that
nobody ever really
talks
about.
That.
Right?
I think usually when I hear about their speeds, it's usually supersonic, and it's with instantaneous acceleration.
I wonder.
Like maybe 0 to 7,000.
Yeah, maybe nobody wants to touch that because it's like, you know, you could violate causality.
Yeah, no one's talked really about fast and speed of light.
You could violate causality.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they even try to claim that.
Yeah, but it's like,
I don't think you would even know what they look, because the thing is, when you're faster than the speed of light, I don't know if you know tachyon particles, the hypothetical ones, you're actually going back in time. So you can't even really see faster than the speed of light. Like in a realistic sense, if somebody was really trying to go faster than the speed of light, it looks like they've already arrived at their destination before they've left. So you would see like a double image. You would see the aircraft like at one point before it even leaves, and then it leaves.
Well, yeah, because the photon hasn't even reached, those photons haven't reached there though. Right, if you're faster than
that. Yeah, I don't even know how to explain it. I don't even know. I looked at the tachyon image for probably like 30 minutes at one point trying to conceptualize this.
Well, the idea is if
thing.
You're faster than light, you already reached your destination without.
Yeah. There's light a cool even. Image on Wikipedia of the tachyon particle.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe we can pull it up. Can we pull up things really easily on here?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you do it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm going to take too long. Yeah, so type in a tachyon in Wikipedia. We could put it on the podcast. There's a little image of it showing how it would be traveling in time. And it's like this cool little graphic where it's like leaving and so we can put that on the podcast.
And wow, it looks like it looks so fucking shitty. It crosses, it's loading.
Yeah, I guess it's older than it. Oh no, okay.
So what is this? What are we looking at?
Yeah, so it's like a little tachyon particle is traveling in time, and it shows you as it's arriving, it also is leaving or something at the same time.
So it says here, because the tachyon would always travel faster than light, it would not be possible to see it approaching. After a tachyon has passed nearby, an observer would be able to see two images of it appearing and departing in opposite directions. So,
yeah, and my mind's already broken looking at this.
So, yeah, because
so I got to relook at it
saying,
to remember
it's just
what
saying
it means.
It beat the light to where it got, and it basically it's passing by you already.
Yeah, whatever.
So you see two images because because it beat the
light.
It's
something that will probably take you a while to conceptualize and actually internalize. I can't remember. I can't internalize it now anymore.
So what's another more plausible thing to me is that these things might be experiencing general relativity. It could be us from
the future
or something, you know, or us.
We've heard that one many times.
You've heard that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like.
But that doesn't really make sense for what we're seeing.
Because it's like you could evolve. Because you could spend 1,000 years, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
2,000 years in life. Would evolve can evolve dramatically given certain like conditions, like
you could be right.
It could be that it could be
you might be right, and they don't want to violate causality or something, so they don't talk to us.
I mean, no, I'm saying they don't break causality at all. Like I don't think they would ever travel faster than the speed of light.
Yeah, but you're saying they're us from the future.
I'm saying, well, no, hold on, what am I saying? What am I trying to say? They're us. What if they were like, what if they were inhabitants of Earth and they just came back to visit Earth? Like they started here on Earth.
Oh, I see.
They escaped the planet and then came back. And
oh,
found
I got
us.
You.
You know what I'm saying? That'd be kind of nuts.
That'd be cool.
Because then, you know, then they'd have a reason to come back.
That would
back
also explain
like,
all the Egyptian shit and people freaking out about aliens with Egyptian, you know, hieroglyphics and whatnot.
You know, like I'm just saying, like, you know, it could be plausible because then, you know, they spent thousands of years traveling through space.
Right.
And then they come back as they send a reconnaissance team and they're like, oh shit, things have.
It's plausible.
They follow
there's a million
rules
theories
of
you can come
relativity.
Up with.
Yeah. Some people think that's the Jesus story.
Yeah.
You know about that?
Yeah. Or Jesus is an alien.
Yeah. He's an extraterrestrial.
I think the Jesus story is just bullshit.
And he rises because he was
that's
fucking...
That's usually the easiest explanation.
Aliens took his ass.
Right. And in their little tractor beam.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, there's so
that's
many
the
interesting
halo.
Things. I really do think if the Bible was anything, it's the idea that it was written because man made contact with extraterrestrials. I would totally believe that.
I think that would be a nice story, but I think it's mostly just people who were... get susceptible to being gullible because we lived in a magical time back then and they thought some guy who knew how to do magical things actually was magic and he just duped a bunch of people.
Yeah. Speaking of other weird things though, what was it? Did you ever read about that one what are they called? There was a painting, a famous painting by a guy. He drew some people were battling or something, and then they saw a big battle in the sky or something.
No.
Or a big war in the sky. You never heard about this?
This might have been one of those Wikipedia entries. I saw something about battle in the sky.
Yeah, it's like really famous, and some guy decided to make a rendition of it, and he drew a bunch of like weird. He couldn't really, I guess, conceptualize it, so he just drew like objects in the sky, like shooting things.
Okay.
Like fire and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, there's this idea
is this
that
the Vimanika Chandran thing or whatever.
Nah, man, this is that. That's another idea where it's like cosmic war, right? There's a cosmic war going on.
They're like chariots and shit in the sky.
So the idea, some people think that fucking Earth is like Earth is being watched by certain species of extraterrestrials that are waiting for humanity to reach tier 3 or whatever the fuck. What's his name called? Michio Kaku?
Oh, he has the civilization tiers or
something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And apparently
he calls them like type 0, type 1, type 2 civilizations.
Yeah, and we're like type...
We're type 0.
Zero.
Type 1, I think, would be mastery of weather.
Right.
So, like, you can control the atmosphere. You can control when it rains, control the hurricanes.
And we're getting there.
I think we're still off because we can't control hurricanes. We would have gotten rid of that shit way long ago.
No, we can, actually. There's, like, this idea called cloud seeding.
Okay.
And, environmental engineering.
Like, so why don't we do it now?
There's some conspiracy people that think the government does do it now.
Oh, and they make hurricanes.
Yeah, yeah. But to me, it's like, we're going to have to, we're investing in this, or scientists are investing in this because climate change is real and climate change is happening and it's going to have devastating effects. So we want to mitigate those things by learning how to engineer our environment, right?
Yeah. So, that'd be smart.
I mean, also
stop putting pollution in the air.
Right, that's but climate smart, change could be climate change could be the thing that kicks us in the ass and takes us to type 1.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Either that or die. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like,
we got to adapt or die. Yeah.
We hate dying.
So, yeah. So it could be this potential cataclysmic thing is going to... Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, yeah.
Did you want to take a look at some of this footage?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to show a couple of videos. So these, to me, I pulled some of the most credible UFO videos. Oh, I forgot to even talk about the island stability with Element 115.
We can mention
it real quick. So with the island of stability, there's this whole thing where there's a stable island. I don't remember this in nuclear physics, I think. Or maybe it's high energy physics, I forget. I think it's nuclear physics, where a certain collection of elements is stable. So the thing is, elements are usually unstable because basically there's two forces that are holding all of the nuclei together, right? It's the strong force, I think the weak force, and then the forces pulling them apart is the electromagnetic force.
Mm-hmm.
So when... the nuclei are compact, so that's protons and neutrons. When they're compact, they're held together by the strong force very easily, and they're stable.
Mm-hmm.
That's why elements like carbon, you know, oxygen, boron,
the most abundant,
all
ones.
Those ones are very stable. As you start to get more and more neutrons and protons attached to these elements, eventually they're so far away from that small strong force radius that the electromagnetic force starts to take effect and it starts trying to rip these particles apart.
Yeah.
Basically. And that's because protons are the same charge. So they're plus and plus. The plus and plus wants to repel each other by the electromagnetic force.
Right.
So they have an island of stability because the more nucleons you have, of course, you get more strong force. So since neutrons are neutral charged, they don't try to push apart protons. So when you add neutrons to the mix, you get more stable isotopes, which is just another fancy name for a different version of the molecule with different neutrons that actually are stable. So element 114 to 116 is in that island of stability that they predicted. So I think that's why Bob Lazar chose, if he's making this up, of course, 115, because it's one of these elements within that island of stability.
Ah, I see.
And I think I actually recorded what they expected. So it says increased atomic stability is theoretically predicted around Z equals 114. So that's the number of protons. And N equals 184. That's the number of neutrons. So element 114, 184 is what we kind of predict to be the stable nucleon within the line of stability nowadays. And I guess maybe Bob Lazar just picked a number between 114 and 116. I don't know. Yeah, or something. And he said 115. We've synthesized 115 in the labs. It's muscovium. But it's not stable. It's not a stable configuration because it doesn't have the right number of neutrons. So we need to synthesize one that has the right number of neutrons. So that got me thinking, like, do we even have stable synthesized heavy elements like that? And it turns out we do. We actually have technetium and americium. And some people may know who watched the podcast. I don't know. Americium is used in smoke detectors.
Mm-hmm.
So that is actually a synthesized element that we use in everyday life. It's in pretty much all smoke detectors, unless it's an optical smoke detector, because it's, you need low amounts of it. I think you need like 20 micrograms or something of it to put in the smoke detectors. Mm. And it's abundant. Well, you could synthesize a lot of it, I guess, at a time. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of what it would be like if we had an actual stable isotope with some synthesized element.
So it's not something, so just to clarify, it's not something that's naturally abundant, artificially created.
Not for us.
Yeah.
Apparently Bob was saying that it probably has to be abundant in, it could be abundant somewhere in the universe, because he was saying that they had 500 pounds worth of element 115 or something. So that would suggest that there's some kind of abundance, or they have some way of mass producing a synthesized element.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just one thing I wanted to comment on real quick that I forgot about. I got a bunch of stuff on here still, but we'll go ahead to the videos since we're like an hour. So I wanted to show you the most credible footage I think I found were these. Can you do it, Juan? Yeah, were these ATFLIR videos, which stands for the Advanced Tracking Forward-Looking Infrared sensors, basically they have on like superordinate jets that comes from the government. So they have this footage from government showing these strange UAPs or unidentified aerial phenomena doing weird stunts. And I guess we'll just show this video real quick. So it's officially from the U.S. government Department of Defense. They claim that they have the documents to support it.
Yeah.
I tried looking into it, and it's not quite true. Mm-hmm. Some of the line is not completely traceable. So there's a little bit of fishiness in it. I forget the full extent of the fishiness because I've forgotten since I've researched.
This better not be.
But it apparently does come from the Department of Defense.
Okay. I was just hoping it wouldn't be a clip from Signs. Like, you know, you just show me a YouTube video of like the Signs.
I've picked these videos specifically because of their credibility.
Okay.
And I also looked at ATFLIR to see how much they cost. Mm-hmm. Someone bought 50 ATFLIR pods for $156.3 million.
Wow.
So that's at least, these things would cost $3.13 million at least. And usually when you buy things in bulk, you get better prices.
Yeah, yeah.
So that means if someone wanted to fake this footage, they would have to basically pay $3.13 million for this kind of tracking, unless they're really good at effects somehow.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and let it play.
3, 2, 1.
And I guess we can put this video in the podcast because I don't know if people would be able to see this.
Chain of custody documentation to ensure preservation of its original condition. Taken aboard a U.S. Navy FA.
Yeah, so it's on a Super Hornet. And we can even skip forward a little bit. They describe the sensors.
Okay.
So there's like a white mode and a black mode or something where it makes the colors different.
It's getting there. So 34, 35, 36.
Yeah, so they kind of describe the sensors.
Oh, they do?
In infrared mode.
They don't even talk about. So when is it actually
going to... As soon as it changes to white mode is when you can skip to.
Okay, so yeah.
I guess it is in white mode right now. I forget. They either go to white mode or dark
mode. For those listening, there's only... They have this picture displayed It looks like a sky and then some like weird fetus shaped object.
Yeah. It looks like a drumstick. Chicken drumstick.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like centered on it.
Oh, bro. There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. Oh my gosh. They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west. The whole thing, dude.
So we got drone operators, clearly American.
That's not our LNS though, is it? It's not.
It is an LNS, dude.
Well, if there's like
look at that thing.
It's rotating.
Oh, there's another video. Different one. Not of the same object.
Yeah. So right now what you're seeing is like some, they're locked on something that looks kind of like spiky, it looks like, but the guy's trying to get a good resolution of it. And now it's just like a black object, dark against daytime sky.
Yeah, they keep changing the modes. They go from dark mode to white mode every now and then. There's a TV mode, I guess, and then there's an IR mode.
So yeah, oblong shaped thing. So back to infrared mode and then reset the zoom. And yeah, it's just like an object that kind of looks kind of oblong.
And you can see it's just hovering there. No aircraft should be able to just hover.
Yeah.
Midair. Without any kind of a mission as well.
You're right. The infrared would kind of show any combustion thing, right?
Like, yeah. Anything that's hot will show up on the infrared. So obviously the object is a hot object, which is why it's white.
Yeah.
And yeah, the infrared sensor... shows you that.
But it's not combusting anything. It's not propelling
anything. Yeah, it's not propelling anything. You would see that somehow.
So, yeah. Which one's next?
Oh, you can go to the next one. I think
this one's
all these are ATF-LIR footage, which is government control Z.
Gotcha.
Juan's fucking up.
Yeah, I'm just forgot how to control C some shit.
Yeah.
I'll see my way out. All right, here we go.
Ba-dum. So this is another one released by the same people. They're like an organization that was started by one of the guys that apparently worked on this project. There was supposed to be like $22 million funded for this thing. I wonder if this is the same one we just saw.
No.
Oh, it's not. Yeah. Yeah, so this is another one where they're describing the sensors again, just like the first one.
So,
Talking about the hot items in black in white mode, and then the hot items in
so there's an altitude
white,
of 25,000 feet, and they see something scanning, or they see something moving really fast.
Right, so fast the ATF-LIR they can't even lock onto it.
Oh, got it!
Roger,
they're
shooting.
What the fuck is that?
Did
you box moving target?
No, I took an auto charge.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh, dude.
So
wow.
Okay. Just like
I'm
going to
try.
Right.
So these are just common operators, like guys, like probably that.
Yeah. These are guys who work for the military in some military organization, and they're releasing these videos now.
So I imagine. So what's the purpose of these things? Do they just scan the sky?
These are the advanced tracking systems that the U.S. military uses, and other countries use them as well. I think I've even got one from Chile, where they use the same kind of equipment. But these are the point of why I got these are also because they're super advanced and expensive pieces of equipment that. It looks credible to me, and I think people have said it's credible footage, and it is said to be released by the Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the defense did fund this organization here that took these videos. So these should be the most credible pieces of footage out there that I've seen right now.
Chilean government just released footage of a UFO.
So this is the next video. I believe this is FLIR-1. Is that true?
A military helicopter filmed footage of a thing, something floating across the sky. It looks kind of like oblong shaped, unidentified aerial phenomenon. It's a phenomena.
This video is kind of a little bit goofy, but they've got all the dramatic music and things.
Yeah. It's expelling something.
Right. So basically, the object dumps some gaseous something.
It's probably, they're probably, what if they're, what if that's their, like, you know how airplanes have like a
toilet thing?
A toilet shoe? Yeah.
I believe a YouTube comment said the aliens released their waste. They're like, let's just release all our shit on this crap planet here.
Yeah, yeah. Dang. Wow, yeah, that's crazy.
The season started at the end of that video. I couldn't find a better version for that one. Then the last one I have is the Kermbots in it's Kumburgaz, Turkey. This one's not as good because I actually found a website later that gave a nice explanation about how this could just be a boat going over horizon. The only reason I included it because Turkey verified that it was legitimate footage, mm-hmm. and other entities said it was legitimate footage, mm-hmm. but a really good website said that it probably is ships moving over horizon.
Oh, okay.
This is filmed over the course of several years as well. Yeah. And I think the same location or something.
Right. It says a series of 27 filmed sightings from 2007 to 2009, a small beach community west of Istanbul. They're reported by many witnesses, including individuals with various recordings.
Right. So this guy here got a high zoom camera or something, or he has a setup where he can zoom really far. You can skip in, it's pretty long, it's like 8 minutes. And they're, so this is the stabilized footage here.
Okay. So.
The website I found, though, shows a really good explanation for how this could just be ships moving over the horizon, which I'm inclined to believe.
So right now, what do you think? What does it look like?
So it looks like some, you know,
it's hard to even tell what it is.
Bowl shaped thing.
Yeah, it looks like it's not moving. It doesn't even look like it's moving. It's just sitting there,
right,
against the black sky, I guess.
Right.
It really doesn't look like anything, I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
It looks like a half shell or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely metallic because
it looks
shiny.
Metallic.
It looks like moonlight. Is that moonlight?
Not sure.
But there's some light bouncing off of the top of this thing.
Well, someone did a really good report on this, and they even matched up some of the images to a boat that appears within that harbor, and it was like almost a one-to-one match. So I was like, this probably is going to be fake.
Interesting.
But it's just interesting how someone thinking it looked like a UFO and,
so I'm going to skip around.
That's how you can show it's pretty much fake if you could just use logic and figure it out.
Okay, so I'm skipping over to 520, 518.
It's like glowing now.
Yeah. It looks suspect because there's like a clear line.
Yeah, a clear like horizon line.
Yeah, a clear like horizon.
Which is why the boat theory is kind of, I think it's pretty legitimate.
Yeah. But then there's more footage. I don't know if this is even the same.
Well, that could be the boat's deck lit up. And you can clearly see it's over a body of water on that.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be an optical thing.
Yeah, I think it is. I'm inclined to believe it's optical with this one. Of course, YouTube comments are saying I can see the aliens in the ship.
yeah. It's people over a body of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm very inclined to believe this explanation for it.
Yeah.
Someone did a really good report on it. I included the link of it,
see
too.
The aliens.
Comprehensively. Yeah, they match that image as you're sat on there completely to the ship that appears there. And it's so crazy how much of a match it really is, too.
It's funny.
Like, if you go to the website, just go to the website and you can find the picture. It's like a complete match to the ship.
That's hilarious.
And it just shows you why video evidence is so non-credible. Like, the only reason... Yeah, like, video footage is just not good. You always need some kind of evidence to go along. Yeah, so go and scroll down. Keep scrolling down. Keep going. Keep going.
By the way, that was shot on a VHS.
Right. Keep going down. So this is the shot. Now keep going down. They have one that matches up. Keep go back up.
Oh,
okay, so that's the part that we saw, yeah, right? Yeah, now yeah. Go down. And they're going to match it to the boat. Keep going. Look at that.
Oh, that's funny.
It's such a match. Or maybe it was a better match than I thought last time.
No, but it looks like match. The hull of a ship for sure.
It looks like something on a ship.
Yeah, with the lights on, the front of a ship. Yeah, it does.
So I'm inclined to believe this explanation. Oh, this is the really good one. Look at that match.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Yeah, I think this one might be
a bunk. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's over a body of water, so. Yeah.
And this person just did a great explanation, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to believe. The first three are a bit harder to explain.
Yeah, 100%.
And they do some acrobatics that are strange.
Yeah, with no combustion, least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any home footage should
this
be.
This is why video evidence, though, is not credible. But I'm more inclined to believe videos that are from government officials, you know, pilots and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of famous cases where pilots report things and, you know, that make it. I think I'll send you some shit that I found. But
okay.
There are famous flight logs. There are a couple famous flight logs that are out there that talk about, like, you know, they see something. There's plenty of those.
Right.
I think they go around. But are they credible? I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows if the pilots see what they actually see, so.
Right.
You know.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Do we have anything more on this
I
wanted
know.
To talk about?
I mean, we could definitely revisit this.
Yeah.
Because this is like.
It's a deep topic.
Dude, it is. It really
we
is.
We should like go through the physics one day and just really see if we can.
Well, I mean, we definitely have to talk. We have, definitely have to come back and like talk about some of the questions you raised about the craft and shit. And I do have to put a little bit more thought into it.
Mm.
So I have about a whole week.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. We need to figure out an explanation.
For sure.
But yeah, any final thoughts on UFOs, aliens? Real, not real?
No, I still think, you know, it's complicated, right?
Yeah.
I want to believe is really the fucking fucking thing. Like, legitimate. I mean, like, you know, it's like fucking Agent with Scully, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
Scully Mulder,
yeah. I mean, you want to believe, like, you...
You do.
You have to be skeptical, right? You have to be skeptical of what's there, but at the same time, you kind of... There are some things that do kind of raise questions that can't be answered, and there are other things that are kind of like, yeah, that's clearly bogus, or it can't be explained rationally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dude. What about you? Any closing thoughts?
I love UFO technology, and it just expands your mind.
Yeah.
Understanding, try to figure out the physics. And honestly, I would love to see a day where we can manipulate gravity at a level that we can actually build things with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope that's our next step.
Yeah.
So I bet that's a big step. And like that even prompted me today. Like I was researching things about LIGO. The gravitational wave observatory. Like now we have the ability to study
gravity.
Yeah, we have the ability to study astronomical bodies now with gravity, which is like a whole new branch of astronomy, essentially.
Yeah.
And this is now a new thing that just happened within the year, 2017 till now.
Yeah, we're just building the technology to detect gravitational waves.
Right.
Yeah.
And people are saying we're detecting like neutron mergers, black hole mergers every week now.
Yeah.
So it just shows you like we've opened up a whole new door to understanding, and we're figuring out how to utilize gravity now to you know, study the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope maybe the next step would be using gravity in our technology or being able to manipulate gravity somehow. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. I think it's important to have questions about, like, because it's like, even if it's science fiction, it's still very like, how do you get to that point where you get to manipulate gravity or take advantage of gravity? Because a lot of our engineering is taking advantage of nature.
Right. Well, that's pretty much everything.
Of nature's own doing.
Part of our technology.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So I guess we'll see.
I would love to understand gravity before I die at a decent level.
Yeah. Shit, you're going to have to read fucking, what's that big tome? The Tome of Gravity? What's that guy who worked on, Gravity by, starts with the W. I was going to say Edward Witten. It's not Witten.
I don't know.
It's some old guy. Damn, I feel bad now. I'm not an astrophysicist guy, right. So I can't even tell you.
Oh, so he's a physicist.
He's a physicist for sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. The Tome of, yeah. I'll send you the link.
Okay.
I forget his name, Jesus.
So you wrote that much about gravity?
Dude, it's a fucking tome. It's like a biblical book.
Cast. We really don't get gravity.
It's just
huh?
about gravity.
Fuck.
But it's more. He talks about like gravitons and shit. But for the most, he was probably one of the leading gravity guys. He probably knew the most at some point. I don't know about now, but
right.
Yeah. Like I think he was the apex of our knowledge at some point.
I see. Yeah, you'll send me that.
Yeah, for sure.
But cool, man.
All right, y'all. So. How do we sign off, dude?
Aliens love them or hate them. Leave it in the comments.
Questions, yeah.
Yeah. I think you should go with the X-Files, bro.
Yeah, here we go.
Love this song. I like how the generation's now known as the Illuminati song.
Yeah. Here's where you can fade out, like the slowly just fade out to it, to darkness. And
yeah. We just both look at the camera like Thriller.
Yeah.
Turn our eyes green.
Oh, shit. Okay. Peace.